Welcome to Energy Unleashed.
Hello, everyone. It is Suzanne Werthley back with co-host Kim Hess.
Hello.
Hey, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. Really good.
Good
thanks.
To see you. I know it's been a while for us. We are back with another Energy Unleashed. This is a podcast where I, as an energy practitioner, share a lot of my client situations, stories, experiences, etc., with their approval. And I bring them forward to kind of unleash it or dig into it further. We bring Kim in from the aspect of her experiences and questioning a lot of, you know, this from the outside perspective. And we hope to bring you things that will maybe open up your mind, especially on this particular one. And we are never never here to tell you your truth or change your mind or be your, your knowing. We are here to just offer the information, take what resonates every time, toss the rest, right, Kim, especially on this stuff.
Definitely.
All righty. Well, this one I want to talk about a little bit what's been happening, and then we'll get Kim involved here. As a practitioner, one of the things that I am very aware of on a daily basis, I sit across, my desk from the client for the first part of every healing session, and we'll talk through, you know, their needs, their wants, their issues, et cetera. And we will talk for sometimes a half hour, 40 minutes, sometimes even 45. And what I do as a practitioner is I'm already working in healing as I watch how their body processes in the discussion. And what I would like to bring forward here is words. What happens as a practitioner, I see how the words react to their energy field and how the energy field of the words reacts back into their body, either emotionally, physically, mentally, et cetera. It is fascinating to me to really watch this process. And I have been much more, adept and skilled at it as the years have gone by, because I am working on my own self in terms of what is coming out of my mouth. And this has been something that has been unfolding. And I think it's a critical subject that we bring forward and kind of unleash and break down and ponder, because we all talk all day long, right? I mean, that's what we do. And so have you noticed you watching your words since we've been working together?
You're a master at that. And I have to say, being on the other end of the conversation with you, when you're saying you should, you can't, you're just going through all the words. It's like, I had no idea how much I said that for different things, so being on the other end of it, you're very quick at that and you catch it. Like,
I do catch it because it's my job to catch it, to point it out, because I don't have the right to sit on any side of a desk if I don't do my own work. And I started doing this work years and years and years ago, really a long time ago, when I started to understand energy is about choice. Being a human is about choice. Mm-hmm. We choose to be here. We choose to wake up. We choose to put clothes on. We choose what to wear. We choose to comb our hair, brush our teeth, etc. Every second of our day is choice. And this was critical for me to understand way back when, because we use words on an automatic basis that does not reiterate the concept of choice. And this is such an important subject, because it hit me one day, and this is actually back when I was just starting this work and was still corporate, and the kids were pretty little. I have four kids, and at this point they were pretty little, and I decided to examine choice. And this is a true story. I chose to, just a minute, I'm going to scratch my nose right here. And now I chose not to do that anymore. And I would articulate that. Oh, I'm going to choose to fold my hands right now. And then I'm going to choose to unfold my hands. And I would articulate that. And I was doing it throughout a day to understand that every second is a choice. I'm going to blink right now. That's a choice. And I started to say it, and then it was fascinating to actually say it. So I started saying it more and more. And about by day two, the kids are like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm choosing to find out how much I choose." And they're like, "Why?" And I said, "I don't know." So I kept it up, and it got more. Now think about this, four little kids and a husband like, "What are you doing, crazy woman?" And I started more and more throughout the day. Wait, I'm going to choose to take a sip of this. I'm going to choose to put it down. And by the end of like day three, they're like, "Mom, stop." And I'm like, "I'm not choosing to." And they're like, "What is this?" And so I would be in the car driving, I'm choosing to put it on my blinker. I'm choosing to change the lane. And it got so hysterical. And I'm not even exaggerating. I did this for 2 weeks. I thought my family was going to kill me. I didn't have clients at this time. Well, not full time by any means, but I wasn't necessarily I was doing it in my own lifeline to really understand that everything I was doing, I was choosing, and I don't have to do anything. And the way this finally ended was hysterical. I went through a drive-thru. True story. The guy, what can I get you? And I'm like, I'm choosing number one, and I'm choosing to have like a Sierra Mist, and I'm choosing the large size and choosing fries. And he's like, okay. And I said, thank you. And I pull around and I handed him my money and I go, I'm choosing to give you this $20 bill. And he stopped and he stared at me and his hand came out super slow and he grabbed it really slowly and he goes, am I choosing to take it? And I said, I would think that's a good choice. And he looked at me like, what is your deal, lady? And that was like the cherry on top of the sundae. I stopped after that because it was so hysterical. Okay, so my point in that exercise, it was to really own the concept that what is coming out of my mouth or coming into my ears is actually owning the idea of I'm choosing. We as humans go through our life and articulate so many things with words like, well, I have to do this and I need to do this. I have to go to work. Mm-hmm. I need to do this. And so this evolved into a personal quest, which then as I became a practitioner, evolved into a skill set where I would watch the human body in my client sessions. And it is fascinating to actually watch a human say the words out of their mouth, I have to, I need to, I should, I can't. All of those words deflate the actual human auric field. And then the body does the slightest, but it's there, deflation. And it pulls the energy down. And it does not expand you into a love frequency. It pulls you down into a locked in fear frequency. And people have no awareness of what is coming out of their mouth to the extent of how many times they say, I have to do this, I should do this. I can find 6 and 7 times out of a client's mouth in one short scenario of a story where they have said, I have to, I need to, I should, I can't.
Right.
It's fascinating. And when you point it out, they'll do this head shake like, did I just say that? And I said, yep, you just said it again. And then by about the fourth time, they get super frustrated. And some of them even like smash their fist down on the table. I can't believe I said that again. And I'm like, you did. So as a practitioner, I really started to look into words more. And as a human, which I also am, I think in terms of making it through a daily, routine or whatever, watching those words are extremely important. The new one that I'm on is try. This is the new one I've been doing for this last probably, I don't know, 6 months or so. I cannot tell you how many times people say, I'm trying to lose weight or I'm trying to get a new job. Well, you're either doing it or you're not. I don't even know why that word is in the dictionary because technically speaking, there isn't a try. You're either doing it or you're not. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating because that word comes out of my mouth a lot.
And then what comes after it, Kim? What comes after it, whether it's
like
verbal
disappointment
or not?
Because I didn't accomplish or do what I was thinking that I needed to do.
Exactly. What comes after it is like a dot, dot, dot. And then it's a big fat word that says but. And whether the but actually comes out of your mouth or not,
it's in there.
There's a psychological but. I didn't do it well enough. I should do more. I can't believe I can't. All those things come in. Yeah. So we self, deflate any of the effort because we say the word try. So my new one I catch myself on and clients is the word try. And I'm replacing it with words like I'm working on it because I am. If I've done it once, I'm working on it, right? So this whole concept of words, I think, is really important for us to examine a little bit. And when I talk energetically, there's two I call fuels in our consciousness container or our body or our life experience that we work from. One is fueled by fear and one is fueled by love. And this is the first thing I go through with clients. If I find you saying words like should, can't, need to, have to, that's a fear-based fuel with a message that is coming from outside of one's own personal alignment and empowerment, oftentimes coming from belief systems that come from moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, society, etc. And if we learn how to catch those and replace it to the other side of the spectrum in a love fuel, we can then, if we choose, begin to work with words like, I get to go to work. I don't have to, because technically speaking, I really don't have to. I don't have to go out that door. I'm actually getting to go out the door. And then when we're in what I call full power, I say, I choose to. And this is what I learned through the process of doing the I choose experiment that drove my family crazy. But it really empowered the concept and the idea of, no, I'm actually choosing this.
You know, what's interesting about how, especially I have to, I remember when I first came to see you that I think one of the things you asked me is, why do you think you need to work? And I'm like, well, I have to. Yeah. And I sat there with that. And I'm like, why do I have to? I have to, because if I don't, nobody else is going to do it. And when you listen to have to's, it's because you are controlling the situation and nobody else can do it but you. So going through that after I was visiting, you know, saw you one of the first times, I'm like, oh my God, I say that all the time. And what am I trying to manipulate and control in my life? Because if I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. Or if I don't do it, it's not going to get done right. So I have to do it.
And, or I have to do it because of guilt. I have to have the money. I have to make money. I have to have my house. I have to, keeps going on. And this goes to the anchor of, well, I have to do it because that's what makes me safe.
Right.
Or that's what makes me enough. And when we get down to those two anchors, it always comes down to that when we're working in energy of worth and self-love is safe and enough and love and worth. When we break that down, I don't have to have a job. I'm choosing to have a job because I'm choosing to have the house and the lifestyle that I'm choosing. I'm actually choosing. Right. Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much I feared poverty. Like I know that a lot of people probably have that around. I have to work. Mm-hmm. I have to, and I need, you know, it's all around.
Need is the only one where I'm a little bit on the fence, and want, because mm-hmm. needs and wants are kind of a cool thing, but have to's, can'ts, and shoulds are really tough.
Yeah.
I can still want something, right? Because there's a energy of accomplishing that and moving forward. Mm-hmm. And there are needs in life. There truly are needs in life. But when I need to go to work, that's a different concept. So these are really, really ideas to ponder if you choose to, in terms of spending some quiet time. And where did that initial programming come from that is based in fear? And again, oftentimes it comes from our childhood and society itself. I mean, we are told, think of media today. Oh my gosh, think of the last 2-3 years. You have to wear a mask. You have to do that. You have to use hand sanitizer. You have to not da 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 da. The control mechanisms on words that come from the controller programming are off the charts. It is crazy. And when we start to do spiritual journey work and we realize I'm actually a sovereign being with freedom and choice, I really can choose to follow those rules, but I'm doing it with no resentment and full sovereignty. I'm not doing it because you're making me. Right. And this is what will turn the tides with people that have gone through the last 2 years so incredibly angry because they felt like their rights were taken away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's a hard one.
It's really hard. And it's hard because when you start to actually pay attention, like when you know the exercise you were doing, your thought loops have been there for a long time around some of these things. And to reprogram that, it sounds easy, but it takes time. It takes a lot of focus to reprogram and change those things after digging in to figure out why you have it to begin with. Where did it come from?
And to play the little games with yourself, not that anyone I'm suggesting goes to the extent of 2 weeks driving everyone crazy, but the experiment that I did was so profound in my knowing that we go automated through our days so much, and to really, truly, viscerally understand in that experience that I'm choosing to pick up this coffee cup right now and take a sip. No one's making me do that. And it's automated. I just take the sip, but no, right. I'm actually choosing. So it was very enlightening. And I encourage people if they choose to do anything they want to with this or not, because.
Because the second benefit that comes out of that is mindfulness.
Yes.
I will go do something. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, did I do that? Cause I'm thinking about other things while I'm doing that thing, you know? So if you're saying I'm choosing to get a cup of coffee, you know, you're really thinking about getting that cup of coffee, where I could walk to the coffee maker, pour a cup and be like, wait, where did I put, did I get a cup? What was I doing? You know, it creates that mindfulness that's really important as well.
And, you know, again, I always say take what resonates, because I'm a human being also, and I couldn't remember where I stuck my coffee this morning. So I am great. That could be for a lot of reasons.
So I'm thinking that I'm going to do an exercise this coming up just to make sure I'm, you know,
being present,
mindful.
Yeah. And mindfulness and words is very important right now because of the way that our energy systems are changing. Our so-called blueprints and grids that we work in holographically here are making manifestation instantaneous for a lot of us right now. We are bouncing back energy differently. So this concept of idea of words is very important for us to examine right now, if we even choose to believe in it, that when we stick something out, the laws of the universe are working so much more quickly, because a lot of the, a lot of the inversions, a lot of the nets, a lot of the lockdowns that have been out there in our holographic world that makes energy move quicker is gone. Energy did not be able to move how it moves now, even 3-4 months ago, much less 3-4 years ago, much less 30 years ago. It's constantly getting more light, which means more fluidity, which means a quicker bounce back, which means manifestation is instantaneous. And so be very aware of the laws of the universe, of things like cause and effect, you know, karmic return, what is happening, law of attraction. All of these initial laws of the universe are being activated so much more quickly right now. And I don't think people are necessarily caught up in that concept as much as they may want to. And we can always study the laws of the universe. The Kabbalion by the Three Initiates is a great book. There's all kinds of information on the internet about what the true laws of the universe are. You know, it's laws of gender, laws of polarity. All of those laws are very important for us to understand. This is how energy works. And words are energy. And energy of words turns into matter and actual experiences very quickly now. So it is critical for us to understand not only what I'm putting out is going to come back quicker, but what I'm taking in as words is coming back quicker also. Mm-hmm. So you do words a little differently than I do. And you might want to have the listeners kind of get an aspect of why words are important to you in terms of like how you journal, how you write, because, and how you channel, because I don't do words the same as you in that regard.
Yeah, I actually, when I started down the spiritual journey, I mean, it took me a little while to kind of get on that bandwagon, but one of the things that I just picked up pretty quickly was journaling. And I was amazed that I could sit down with a pen and all of a sudden, you know, have a couple pages written. And I'm like, what did I just say? Because the words were just flowing out of my body. But as I, while I was still constructing the words, and it was quick, I was, you know, manipulating the words that were coming out as well at that point in time. But as I became, you know, went through a lot of time of journaling and started focusing on prayer, writing verses or writing something that was meaningful to me, I was able to actually start channeling words, which is a whole different thing, because I am pulling in, you know, not only am I with my higher self, but my guides, my angels, archangels, you know, and I will sit down and like writing the prayer for Vibe Tribe. I actually do kind of a little clearing and a little ceremony, and I sit down to write, and the words, while I might in my head start it, but then all of a sudden the words are just flowing.
Yep.
And then I'm reading it and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Like that came out of my head. Like I'm a vessel. It's just going through me and coming out. And it's a very humbling and just such an amazing experience for me to do it that way.
Yeah.
But it took a lot of time to get there because my mind was getting in the way all the time.
Yeah.
Again, it's a control thing.
Right.
Look like this. I wanted to say this. And I, you know, it's a control thing. And
yeah.
So letting that go.
And automation in spirit is so easy when you don't go back and necessarily look at your words until give it a break. Just let it flow and then look at it later, kind of a thing, because you're going to look for a comma and a period and that's ridiculous.
Right.
You know, it just stops the flow. So yeah. Kim, I have an online community. If anyone's ever interested, look on my website at sworthfully.com. And Vibe Tribe is our online community. And every single solitary month, we do a energetic package that comes to you via email for $33 a month. You get an ongoing package that has a theme. And we work through the tarot deck for the theme. And it is really awesome because I will give Kim the theme of the tarot deck for the month. And she will write these beautiful prayers. And then included in your Vibe Tribe membership is a monthly webcast where then I expand on all kinds of other issues. And I read her prayer at the end of every Vibe Tribe webcast live. And it's so funny because Kim doesn't get to hear her own prayer that's channeled until I read it in my voice. And she inevitably calls me later and goes, "Oh my gosh, I just broke down and cried. That was beautiful. And I didn't even know I wrote that."
It's so funny to me. I'm like, "Oh my God, that's so, it just hit my heart so hard. I can't believe it."
And I think that's the beauty of words that are healing. Words can be beautiful and healing. Words can be, you know, channeled words are amazing. A lot of the books that I write, my first book, The Energy Healer's Book of Dying, wasn't words channeled as much as it was concepts and ideas channeled, because I would talk to the dying patients and they would telepathically give me information. So kind of it was words. But my second book, Confident Empath, that just came out this week, was so many chunks of it was channeled, because when I read the final kind of read throughs, I'm like, dang, that's really good. I, you know, and I hear myself do that also. So there are moments for me, but I don't channel quite the same as you. Where I do channel sometimes is when I teach or when I'm doing information from people that are connecting on the other side. Yeah. So I will find myself saying certain things, or when I'm oftentimes channeling at events, my voice will change or the information will come through. And that is a really cool feeling, to let words just flow on behalf of others. And I think prayer, we need to understand, if we choose to, is allowing concepts and ideas to come through in beauty and flow and grace, not the things that we learned that we had to memorize in Catholic school or wherever you went. That's not bashing Catholics, but you know, that's all I know.
Right. So, I can do the Hail Mary.
Yeah. And I mean, I actually look back at some of those prayers that we learned, and I will refuse to say those prayers now, because there are words mm-hmm. in some of those prayers that I absolutely do not align with or nor believe in. So I will not say certain words. I will, in a situation, I will not do automated certain words, especially in those kinds of dogmatic rituals. And it feels wrong. And when that comes out of my throat. So my point is, work with your throat chakra. Mm-hmm. This is the first chakra in the spiritual realm of your body. It's your first alignment to your higher self. And this is where we transcend duality. So the human experience is about duality, this and that. Back to words, fear-based words, love-based words. Mm-hmm. Our human existence here is dualistic. That's the point. And that's awesome. However, when we get to the throat chakra and we find some semblance of our inner truth, this is when we start to understand a transcendence of that duality, meaning black is white, white is black, male is female, female is male, right is wrong, wrong is right, because there is just is. Right. And the more that we all start to allow others to hold their own versions of truth and not worry about it or fight it or validate from that, we will start to understand words change that setting.
Absolutely.
So this is an important thing right now for us to get, because again, this is your fifth dimensional frequency in your chakra system. And if we're all talking about this ascension process and, you know, kind of jumping around 3, 4, and 5 here, you know, solar plexus, heart, throat, we are opening to this potentiality of a higher frequency in our voice. And that includes our words.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's really, really important. Especially, and it's not only words, it's saying words out loud. But it's also those thought patterns again,
yes.
that, you know, it starts there. I think that's really important. And one of the things that happened for me is, during the holidays and some things were going on, I was not journaling like I normally do. what I found is I wasn't handling my day as well. I wasn't understanding my own words or my source of truth without doing that journaling. I was starting to pick up others, you know, thoughts and beliefs. Not that I would totally take it in, but I wasn't like really grounded in my source of truth when I wasn't journaling like that, which is really interesting.
That's cool. That's super cool. Mm-hmm. And if your thing is not journaling and it's something else, just be aware we're never going to be fabulous and wonderful because we are puppeted by so many controller factors.
Yeah.
And if we do fall off the so-called bandwagon, I think what is important is to understand that you felt the feeling was different. You felt the feelings of how you were navigating a day was different.
Mm-hmm.
And the feel has to align with the vibration of the thought and the voice. And so when we're out of alignment, we can always jump back on, and there's no self-bashing in terms of, oh, I should have done that, because then you're right back to that should have, right?
Right.
So, or I need to journal again. No, it's, oh my gosh, I get to, because it feels so great.
Yeah, no, it's
so.
I started down that path of self-bashing to say, well, what the heck was I thinking? But right away, it's like, you know what, just pick it up. Let's do it. Let's do it.
I would like people to also, if they choose to, open their hearts and their heads to the concept of how much we get programmed in social media and regular media and entertainment media in terms of the words, especially news. Because when we really study news, it's so interesting because they will basically, every outlet is kind of funnels down to two top organizations anyway, when we really study all this, which then decide what the tagline or the framing of words will be. And there is certain things, around the Capitol issue that happened during the Trump thing and the insurrection, whoever used that word in a common day, you know, they had two words before. It was the something, something of insurrection. I can't remember, but there was a tagline that every single media used for over and over and over for weeks and weeks to pummel that into our brains. And then
I think terror one of the words, or the
terroristic? and then not only do they put the word in their mouth, but they'll put it in a visual on top of it as the news break, you know, terror and the Twin Tower terror and all of those things. They will use words in a visual way as well to lock in the verbiage, and they will have taglines that if you get really skilled at this, you will start to see that every news outlet says basically the same exact thing. Even when they're competing outlets, by the way, they will say basically the same things because that's how it works in programming. So these words that are given to us in terms of our so-called leadership will be driving you into a programming situation just by use of the words and or the writing of the words. And so be clear in your own container if you want to stay in alignment that says, that's great, I'm hearing that, but that doesn't feel, and this is why the feel is so important, that doesn't feel like that has to necessarily be my truth right now. You know, we're going to war, this is going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, it doesn't feel like that for me right now. Or, you know, this is a, this balloon in the sky is actually this. That doesn't feel like that's my truth. So it's a concept between hearing the words, digesting it through your thought and your feel center, and then going into the actual body and owning from your own resonance and your own vibrational container of knowing, is that my truth? And it's a fascinating process. But if we don't do that, we get dumbed down and programmed on a daily basis.
Oh my gosh. Just talking to people in our social circle and family, you know, you hear those words after you've seen the news, you hear somebody repeat them and you're like, okay, like this is really, it goes deep. And if you're not aware of it and you said discerning, it does, it infiltrates, you know, right into your throat and your
essence. Yeah. Your cells, literally. Mm-hmm. You know, we are very much in a controller situation in our reality here. And this is not to sound like the big conspiracy rabbit hole, but it's important for us to look further into how much we are programmed in terms of all of this stuff. And divide and conquer is one of the biggest strategies of all to break down the individual and to be able to listen to my words, believe in my thing, blah, blah, blah. Is the divide and conquer tactic underneath all of this is why we're so separated, you know, Republican, Democrat, male, female, genders, et cetera. All of this is purposeful in terms of breaking us down in truths right now. And this is why it's the awareness of how much, and I'm going to use the word black magic. Lisa Renee is somebody I study. She's energetic synthesis, and she has a great website, very difficult to study. I've studied her for years and I still have to read her stuff, you know, like 5 and 6 times, but she does have something this month that resonates a lot with the subject. And I'm going to be talking more further on my own Vibe Tribe membership webcast tonight on this, because it's so important in terms of the black magic of words, because words can be spell casting. And this isn't to sound all oogie boogie and witchcrafty, but it is in terms of spell casting. Words go into our holographic grid patterns and create matter and reality. And so when we're having a negative agenda, it is purposefully doing divide and conquer. And then it is purposefully weaving in words and thought patterns. So for us to follow, if we're in that zombie-like disconnected situation. And this is why there is so much banter right now and cruelty and hatred being thrown, because when we're doing harmful energies, false accusations, even threats, everything, when we're doing this back and forth, it is very dangerous because people think it's power when they throw that back. But what they don't understand, and I was so excited she wrote about this because I've experienced this and I know this, and she wrote about it this month. When you throw that junk out, it is palpable. You can feel it. I had a situation I wrote about in my new book where there was a woman, and with her spell casting, she was mad at me because I wouldn't do a project with her because her ethics did not align with mine. And I backed out of a project, and she was all the way on the other side of Wisconsin, me being in Minnesota. And I could feel her spell casting through words that far. I would be walking through my day, and all of a sudden I would stop dead, knowing that these weaved energies were coming at me, which was what we call black magic spell casting. And I had to do a lot of work. Well, I chose, but I had to do a lot of work to even get out of that, because it was encapsulating. It was driving my beliefs and my actions through this black magic spell casting of hateful thoughts and hateful words. And this is very real. What she didn't get, and I learned this years ago, and now Lisa Renee wrote about it this month, the backlash is what she didn't understand. I didn't play in that game. I chose to stand neutral. I chose, and I choose oftentimes in my work, to stand neutral and not backlash to her backlash. Because what's happening now with words, in the way that our grid systems are working with this light, is it's an immediate law of attraction and cause and effect.
Right.
And your karmic return on your negative words is going to come back to you immediately tenfold, if not 1,000-fold, depending on the severity of how you cast that spell. And if you are thinking spell casting sounds silly and witchy stuff, don't fool yourself. You don't have to have a little wand and a little pentagram and some tarot deck to throw this stuff out to be a spell caster. It is harmful intention is spell casting. And when we have the backlash, it's a boomerang effect that comes immediately right now and tenfold, if not more. And this is why we are seeing really bizarre stuff. People falling over dead, really crazy stuff happening. He or she just, you know, went nuts off the rocker overnight. I mean, we're having this instantaneous backlash to this negativity, which is negativity times 10. So this is dangerous stuff right now. Be clear that we are all spellcasters, and it is important for us to pull into a neutral space if we want to hold a higher alignment to this stuff and not get caught up in the stupid banter that is reactional and emotional.
Right.
Neutral is key.
Yeah, I think that the emotional part of it especially brings out the anger, hate, you know, all of those things with it. And so sticking to the facts and being neutral is really, you know, an amazing place to be.
And it is not easy. We humans want to fight because our fight or flight root chakra is out of control, always has been. And I will never forget, there's another little thing that happened to me as I'm in a very small town, 26,000 such people. And we have a little local newspaper that a lot of folks read. And when I was teaching a lot, quite a few years ago, I was teaching a lot of energy classes and angel-based classes. And there was a letter to the editor that was quite extensive from somebody that did not know me and found me in the teaching of the community education of an angel class, and he came from another standpoint and viewpoint of God, saying that I was a witch and that I was out there trying to control people through this negative agenda and this and this. And it was just this horrendous, really assault on my actual like work and my own ownership of, and he knew me not, he knew nothing of me. And it was just his perspective and his perception. And I found out later that he was a past reverend of some church or whatever, but his perspective of me and my work being a so-called energy practitioner meant that I was a witch. And he went on and on about how negative this was. My human reaction when I saw that was to retaliate. And this is where I'm going with this. His words were so harmful and energetically false, accusation, threats, an assault on my own personality, my career, etc. My personal reaction was immediately to jump on my computer and write back to the letter of the editor so that I could be heard and that people could know I was right. This is what we do with words. So I, thank goodness, was doing this work long enough to know that I pounded out every nasty, horrible thing I wanted to say about that. And I put it in a save file. And I read it the next day and I put it back in the save file. And I read it the next day and I put it back in the save file. And by the third day, there was no need for me to do that because I had worked through the human programmed emotion of word retaliation. Mm-hmm. And I did not need to find that validation of my truth versus his truth because I was transcending that by just moving it through the process and not needing it to be validated by more people in my so-called community. What happened in the beauty of this was exactly the opposite of the boomerang effect of negativity. What happened is my classes went through the roof. He was my promotion. He was my self-promotion. My
free classes, advertising.
Yeah, my classes sold out and it was wonderful. And I learned many years ago, neutral works. Mm-hmm. But for me to move it through my own consciousness container at that time, because I still was humanly assaulted, I went through the exercise of pounding it out and getting mad. Now you can pound a pillow, you can kick a wall, as long as you're not doing harm to someone else or something else that is going to boomerang back. It is okay to own your version of feeling assaulted and work through that because we don't want that stored in the body either.
Right, right. And I think it's really important right now. I mean, growing up was so much different than being in the social media world now. Yep. Words are super important because you can flippantly send a text. You can flippantly, you know, do things that the meaning is taken differently on the other end, or you are out there actually putting mean, unkind things out there on social media because you're sitting behind a computer. You're not face to face with somebody. You know, and it's hard to say it to somebody's face, you know,
it's never ending. And to me, it is astounding that people have that thought pattern that I have the right to do this. My son just recently launched a video campaign for, they make guitar pedals, and he launched a video campaign, a promo thing where they had all of their staff doing these, you know, cute little spots on the video, yada, yada. And he said the other day, he was astounded at how much he, from the perspective of the company, how much it was needed to go through the comments because people are so cruel. And they were saying things about, you know, somebody's hairstyle or their weight or the background, or why did you wear that shirt? And all these really bizarre cruelties that were out. And I said, did you go through and delete them? And he said, yes. And I said, good, because you don't want that repercussion, not only for the person who's being attacked, but just the concept of negativity on the thread alone. Right. And we don't do enough of that because people feel, for whatever reason, that they have the right to attack and be harmful.
Look, put your devices down and go find something joyful to do. I mean, I don't understand, you know, if you're sitting on the media that much and somebody's shirt bothers you that much.
Yeah.
Go find something, go hug a tree. Come on.
Yeah.
Challenge you.
Right. So I'm going to
with your dog. I don't know.
Go do something. I'm going to round this down with just a couple of guidelines gleaned from Lisa's information this month. Guidelines to protect yourself. First and foremost, this is mine in terms of when I teach anything, especially in the new empath book, it is critical for us to have our boundary, our own auric field boundaries solidified and contained so that we can discern. Discerning, discernment, understanding my frequency versus what is surrounding me is really, really top most on the list to be able to say, gee, that just doesn't resonate for me. Mm-hmm. And so that boundary of your auric field is your workspace to be able to say, this is harmful. This is not my truth. This is affecting me, etc. Choose harmlessness towards others as a spiritual principle, lifestyle, and personal value system. Harmlessness means I don't need to, or nor do I even have the right to harm someone else because of this principle of these laws of the universe. It will come back to you. So being able to have that principle of a lifestyle, not just spirituality, but just humanness of there is kindness on this planet if we are the ones that are putting it forward. Be that principle of kindness, and this will boundary you from that boomerang effect. Holding loving and neutral thoughts on behalf of all people, even those who have harmed you. I worked very hard through those 3 days of holding that negative man's opinion of me, mm-hmm. and got to a place of actual compassion. It took me quite a while. Compassion in that his little tiny vision of truth was something that he gets to own. But wow, I mean, that's so small. And I didn't have sympathy or pity for him, and I didn't judge him, but I found compassion in that if that's all there is for you, great. But you know, there's still 30 flavors in the ice cream choices at Baskin Robbins 31, dude. I mean, there's a lot of other choices out there. And for some reason, we always pick that one. And that's why I always refer to 31 flavors. Choose again, expand it. So finding neutral thoughts on that, and even possibly compassion. This is when we sincerely wish them benevolence. Their soul may not need to or be here even to explore that, however. So this is where I go back to really finding within myself the ability to know all souls are not on this planet for the same journey. We are shards of the God source, specifically divine for differences in our experiences. And when we are always trying to make everything the same, we're doing a disservice to our individuality and our collectiveness. So finding the way to wish them well on behalf of whatever it is that their soul experience is aligning right now is a beautiful way to find that space. Refraining from writing words and messages that intend to harm and be directed towards others. Kim brought up a really important one. I find clients, you cannot believe how many clients will come into my office holding their cell phone saying, you can't believe this text that he or she sent me 3 days ago or 3 years ago. I still have it. You want to read it? And I'm like, absolutely not. And in fact, you may choose to delete that when you want to start to heal, because when we are writing and storing those words, and this goes for storing those words in terms of electronic communication, this is an energy cord in a field that is harboring that negativity and that anger and growing it exponentially. So when we are doing that, it is a lose-lose. Remember that if you choose. And then do not place blame on others for perceived problems. When we transfer our energy to the other person, this is something humans are experts at. Energy transference, mirroring, I don't want to deal with my problems, so I'm going to find it on you. I'm going to project. We're fascinating at that. So when we do that boomerang effect and we start to throw that negativity out, remember, it's going to come back again and again and again tenfold. So this is something right now that is critical for us to be aware of and on top of. Avoiding the consensus bandwagon. This is something that our species as a whole is being driven to do by the negative agenda. This absolute underneath agenda of divide and conquer is done purposefully for bandwagons and the convergence of people to come together to create more energy in that bandwagon, to find that bandwagon and fight and fight and fight. This is a purposeful agenda. And when we get adept at this stuff, we start to see how silly this all becomes. But the moment that we get onto that bandwagon, condemning others because our groupthink and our hive mind is like that, that's when it becomes dangerous. Hive mind is always programming. And so even when it's under the umbrella of, oh, love and light and God source, and we're all wonderful, hive mind is still programming, because when I transcend polarity and duality, it just is. And so just is not hive mind. So this is something to really sit with in your quiet time. Mm-hmm. Next is remember that intentions and thoughts are things, thus angry and cruel words can act as the black magic. This energetic world that we're in right now, when we have a thought pattern and it goes through the transition of our chakra system into an articulation, when it goes from light to sound and color articulation, it goes into the field and then it moves into the physical field right away to become matter and reality. So we, when we're on the path of spiritual alignment and getting this to work easier in grace and love, it is all about self-responsibility and self-control. Regulating the self is what is critical, because this outside world will always be manipulated. So it comes down to the individualization of knowing this is not good for me. This is not healthy. This does not feel like love. This is not my belief, et cetera, et cetera. And we can only do that when we're in our own container in a balanced and loving way. So those are some of the things she wrote about, and I'm going to share further on the Vibe Tribe webcast. And if you're interested in Vibe Tribe, just go on my website and check it out, because when you are working in those kinds of situations with others and sharing, it's a monthly kind of kick in the butt to go, hey, stay on track. This is what's happening. And it's just, I think, a really great opportunity for anybody to get involved with, and we'd love to see you online. So that said, Kim, so how do you feel about some of those suggestions from her?
Well, they all are amazing, because I didn't think about some of those words as black magic words or weaving. You know, I know that the negative, how it affects me, and I've seen it in others, the words that can really affect what you're doing if you are not careful to discern. But those are, I mean, I think it's really great. I'm going to go back and now I'll go listen to her whole. Yeah, it's all good.
And magic, you know, it's not as ooey as it sounds. Everything in this world is magic, really. We are in an enchanted situation, and enchantment can go dark or it can go in light. And dark isn't always bad, but black dark magic, black magic is not a good thing. It is an evil source, and it is a manipulative source for deconstruction of your essence. And so this is why ritual is words. This is why meditations are words. This is why black satanic spell casting is words. This is why oming and toning is sounds of words. And so we can pick on either side. It isn't. And again, when it comes to source, really top source, there isn't necessarily, there has to be, let's put it this way. There has to be a dark and a light. There has to be, this is the balance.
Right.
But when it comes to personal choice, that's a decision that you get to make. So choose wisely. Choose wisely.
Yeah. And it's knowing yourself, and it's working on the words yourself that becomes more clear when you hear those words elsewhere, that you're able to recognize them and understand what's happening.
And I'm going to bring this full circle to wind back down here. Really, the easiest one to start with is the fear fuel and the love fuel.
Yeah.
It is really all about watching that throat catch on the words like, oh my gosh, I just said, I can't, I should, I need to again. Oh my gosh, I just said it again. Or, oh, it feels so great to say I get to do this, or I get to choose to do this. That's a really basic first step. And you will be amazed at yourself on how many times you catch that. And after a while, it gets to be a constriction that you choose to start choosing different words because it feels better even in your throat. And remember that last one, try, because that's a new doozer that we've been working on.
I know. So. But the other part of that is, I think what really helped me was stepping back and saying in the neutral piece of like standing in the neutral more to say that's their journey. They're here for whatever that reason is. I don't have a right to judge or, do anything about that. That's their journey.
And knee-jerk reactions are really the biggest red flag. If I'm doing a knee-jerk reaction, find neutral.
Right? Neutral. It's awesome. Not easy.
No. All right. So on behalf of Kim and I, thank you very much for spending your time with us. As always, if you choose to, hit the share button, hit the like button, send it to your friends and family if you feel it resonates for them. And if not, we will be okay with that, because these are our words.
It's all right? Good.
All right. Until next time, everybody. Cosmic hugs.
Bye.
Bye-bye.